Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, let's dive deep into Coca-Cola's third quarter performance for 2024. We've got both the earnings release and that 10Q report, so we're really going to crack this thing wide open.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. What really jumped out at me is how Coca-Cola is going all in on some serious tech, not just dipping their toes in the water.
Yeah, I saw that too. Especially that partnership with NVIDIA and WPP using generative AI for all their marketing and visuals. What's the deal with that? How is this AI actually being used?
Well, just imagine you're walking down the street and bam, there's a Coke ad that's like made just for your city, you know, reflecting like local tastes and all that.
Wow. That's next level. They're taking Share Coke and making it like hyper-personalized. And it's not just marketing, is it? They're using AI for product development too, right?
You got it. They're actually analyzing, get this, they call it multisensorial facial coding. Basically watching people's faces during taste tests. AI helps them figure out what flavors and aromas people really respond to.
So they're like reading our minds through our faces. Wild.
Pretty much. And you can actually see the results in the new Sprite and Fanta reformulations. Those came from this AI stuff.
Now, zooming out a bit globally, the report shows a 1% dip in unit case volume this quarter. But I feel like there's more to that story.
Oh, absolutely. While there is a dip, certain markets are on fire. Brazil, the Philippines, Japan, all seeing strong growth, it suggests those localized strategies are working.
So even with a small overall decline, they could be strengthening their position in key growth markets. That's really interesting. What about the other side? The report mentioned declines in China, Mexico, and Turkey. What's going on there?
Well, each market has its own story. China could be a slowing economy or changing tastes. Mexico, they've been dealing with some serious inflation. And Turkey, yeah, they've had economic challenges too. Global trends always hit differently depending on the local scene.
Right. Every place is unique. And speaking of inflation, that's a big theme this year. And the 10Q report goes deep into how Coca-Cola is handling it. They're using what they call strategic pricing actions, which led to a 10% increase in price mix.
Yeah, that was a smart move because it let them keep those profit margins healthy, even though people bought slightly fewer drinks.
So even though they sold a little less globally, they made more money per unit. Clever. But how sustainable is that, really? Can they just keep raising prices forever?
That's the big question, right? Got to balance those price increases with what people can actually afford. But for now, Coca-Cola seems to be finding that sweet spot.
All right, let's look at their overall financials. Despite everything, the numbers look good.
Yeah, they're solid. Comparable currency neutral operating income, meaning we're looking at profitability without the ups and downs of currency exchange, grew by 14%, shows how efficient they are and that their strategies are working.
Making more money in a tough environment. Not bad at all. Now, let's break it down by segment. There's Europe, Middle East and Africa, Latin America, North America, Asia Pacific, Global Ventures, and Bottling Investments. Hmm. Where do we even start?
Let's start with the rock star, Latin America. They saw a 32% jump in comparable currency neutral operating income, driven by that strong organic revenue growth. Always a good sign.
Whoa, 32%. That's huge. What's behind that success in Latin America?
It seems like those strategic pricing actions really hit the mark there, leading to a 21% increase in price mix. However, gotta note, some of that was offset by, you know, higher marketing investments and operating costs. They're spending to grow, which can sometimes eat into those short-term margins.
Makes sense. Gotta spend money to make money. Right. Now, what about North America, their home turf? How'd they do?
North America pulled off a respectable 16% growth in comparable currency-neutral operating income. Combo of organic revenue growth and a favorable mix.
So steady growth in a mature market, not too shabby. Now, before we get into the other segments, I think it's time to...
Let's take a break. All right, we're back, ready to tackle the rest of Coca-Cola's global performance.
Perfect. Let's jump right back in. We were about to explore some of their other segments. What about Europe, Middle East, and Africa?
Well, they actually faced some headwinds this quarter, saw a 2% dip in comparable currency-neutral operating income. Volume was down too, probably a mix of, you know, economic uncertainty and those geopolitical things we talked about.
Sounds tough over there.
Yeah.
But their price mix still went up, right? Like 9%. That must help soften the blow a little.
It did, but it was partly offset by what they call unfavorable mix. Basically, they sold more stuff with lower profit margins, maybe because of promotions or, you know, shifts in what people are buying.
Ah, so it's not just about raising prices everywhere. Got to be strategic about what products they're pushing in each market. Interesting. Okay, how about the Asia-Pacific region then?
They do well. 12% increase in comparable currency-neutral operating income, driven by organic revenue growth. And get this, the timing of their marketing investments actually played a role.
So strategic timing is key. They're really thinking about when and where to spend those marketing dollars.
Oh yeah, for sure. Marketing's a powerful tool, but you gotta use it wisely. Now let's talk global ventures. This one, I think a lot of people might not be super familiar with.
Yeah, for our listeners who aren't quite as deep in the weeds, what exactly is Global Ventures?
Think of it like their other bets category. It's stuff like Costa Coffee, and they're bottling investments in places where they don't have full control. Saw a small increase, 3%, in comparable currency-neutral operating income, mostly because of positive product mix.
So even though it's smaller, it's still contributing to their bottom line.
Nice.
Now, bottling investments, that had a pretty crazy quarter, right?
Yeah, totally different story there. Their comparable currency-neutral operating income, it tanked, like a 63% drop.
Ouch. That's a huge drop. Can you remind everyone what refranchising even means here and why Coca-Cola is doing it?
Sure. Refranchising is basically selling off company-owned bottling operations to independent partners. They're doing it for a few reasons. One, it lets Coca-Cola focus on what they're good at, the brands, the marketing, new products. Two, it cuts down on those big capital expenditures and operating costs. Three, it can actually make things more efficient, and they get that local expertise from the bottlers.
So it's a trade-off, short-term hit for those long-term gains. We'll see how that plays out. Okay, let's switch gears to something that's been hanging over Coca-Cola's head for a while, that IRS tax dispute.
Yeah, this is a big one. The 10Q report goes into a lot of detail about where things stand, the rulings, how Coca-Cola is responding, the whole nine yards.
For those listening, can you give us the rundown on what's going on with this tax situation?
All right, so basically, the tax court recently sided with the IRS on how Coca-Cola calculates taxes on income from their foreign licensees. They agreed with the IRS's way of allocating income, which Coca-Cola thinks is totally wrong and unfair.
So the court said, IRS, you're right, Coca-Cola, pay up.
Pretty much. But Coca-Cola is not giving up that easy. They're planning to appeal, looking at all their options to fight this thing.
Sounds like it could be a long and expensive fight. What's the potential damage here financially for Coca-Cola?
Tough to say for sure, because who knows how the appeal will go. But the report shows they've already paid a whopping $6 billion to the IRS for the 2007 through 2009 tax years. And they've set aside $465 million just in case, you know. But wait, there's more.
Oh no, there's more.
The report also estimates the potential hit for 2010 through 2023 could be around, get this, $10 billion. Now, that's just an estimate. Could be higher, could be lower. Depends on the appeal and all that. But it's a lot of money hanging in the balance.
So tons of uncertainty and potentially billions of dollars on the line. We'll definitely be watching this one closely. But hey, even with that hanging over them, Coca-Cola seems pretty optimistic about the future. What's their outlook for the rest of 2024 and beyond?
They actually bumped up their organic revenue growth projection to about 10% for 2024. So they're feeling good about their performance so far, and think those price increases will keep things moving in the right direction. Looks like they're confident they can keep growing, even with everything going on in the world.
That's impressive, mm-hmm. Especially with all the challenges they're facing. What are they focusing on as they head into the fourth quarter in 2025?
They're definitely keeping a close eye on inflation, obviously, and how things are shaking out in those uncertain global markets. The tax thing, that's a big factor too, of course. But they're also really focused on, you know, how consumer preferences are changing. That's a moving target. Got to stay ahead of the game.
So challenges and opportunities, as always. Sounds like Coca-Cola is taking it all in stride.
Exactly. Acknowledging the headwinds, but also investing in innovation and those strategic things we talked about, they believe it'll pay off in the long run.
Now, before we move on, we should touch on sustainability. It's been a hot topic for them.
For sure. The report highlights some of their initiatives, like water stewardship, packaging sustainability, reducing their carbon footprint. Lots of stuff going on.
So what are they actually doing? Give us the highlights for our listeners.
Well, they're working to replenish all the water they use in their drinks. That's a big deal for a company their size. They're also trying to cut down on plastic waste with new packaging and stuff, switching to renewable energy, promoting recycling, partnering with other groups to tackle these big global sustainability challenges.
Sounds like a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
Is it enough, though? What are people saying? Are there criticisms?
Even with all that, some people say they're not moving fast enough or doing enough to offset the environmental impact of their huge global operations. There are concerns about, you know, plastic bottles and whether they can really achieve water neutrality, especially in places where water's scarce.
So, work in progress. Seems like they're making some strides, but there's still a long way to go on the sustainability front.
That's a good way to put it. It's a journey, not a destination. And Coca-Cola's got a lot of ground to cover.
We've covered so much today. AI-powered innovation, global growth strategies, the tax issue, their efforts to be more sustainable. What does it all mean for Coca-Cola's future?
The million-dollar question, right? They're definitely in transition, embracing new tech, navigating a crazy global landscape, and fighting some pretty big legal battles.
It's like they're trying to reinvent themselves while still holding on to that iconic brand.
Yeah.
Not an easy thing to do.
Nope. But that's what makes them so fascinating. They're a microcosm of what a lot of big global companies are dealing with.
And now let's connect all of this back to our listeners. Why should they care about what's happening with Coca-Cola?
Their story tells us a lot about how companies are adapting to the forces changing the world. Tech disruption, economic uncertainty, changing consumer demands that push for sustainability. It's all happening at the same time.
It reminds us that even the biggest brands can't just sit back and relax. They have to be agile, innovative, responsive, or they'll get left behind.
And for you, whether you're an investor, a consumer, or just interested in how the business world works, understanding this stuff is key. Helps you make smarter decisions and see what might be coming next.
So as we start wrapping up our deep dive into Coca-Cola's third quarter performance, we want you to think beyond the headlines. Think about the bigger picture, the implications of those strategic choices, from AI to refranchising to sustainability.
Because the choices they make today will shape the future, not just for them, but for the whole industry, potentially. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep those minds bubbling.
Yeah, it really makes you think, you know, not just about soda, but like how these huge companies might change in the coming years.
It does. And speaking of the future, that commitment to AI, especially from Coca-Cola, that's something to watch. Using it for personalized marketing, even creating new drinks, it could be a total game changer. What if they could make a drink just for you, based on what you like?
Okay, now that's getting a bit sci-fi, but I see what you mean. It's not just selling more Coke, it's about like predicting what people will want next.
Exactly. And remember those global trends we talked about? AI could give them even more insight into like regional tastes. They could fine-tune products and campaigns for each place super precisely.
So it's all connected. The tech, the global strategy, what consumers want. It's all one big picture.
Yeah, that's the key takeaway. When you're looking at a company like Coca-Cola, don't just see the individual pieces. Think about how they fit together, how they work together to create something new.
I love that.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Coca-Cola's third quarter performance, we encourage you to, you know, think beyond the headlines. Think about the bigger implications of their choices, the AI, the refranchising, the sustainability push.
Because their choices today, they're shaping the future, not just for them, but for the whole industry, maybe even beyond.
Yeah.
Stay curious, stay informed, and as always, keep those minds bubbling.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.